Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning. A little nip to the air. We see the seasons changing, but we just praise the Lord for the seasons. And glad that each of you are here this morning. If you have your bulletin, just a couple announcements here on the back that I want you to just keep mindful. Do remember that we are already in the month of mission. In fact, this is the second Sunday of our month of mission, and we're starting together and collect some items up here for Valley Mission. I hope that you all can get to the grocery store and pick up some items for Valley Mission. There's just a big need in our community, in the Stanton area. These people that are in need, some are homeless, and they need our help. And so I pray that you can help out in that way, making donations to Valley Missions. Maybe you're not sure what to buy. On the bulletin, there is a paper there that gives you just some ideas of things that they may need at Valley Mission. Also, you can look online. I think even on the Valley Mission website, they have some things on there that could guide you in what to purchase. But when you bring those items for Valley Mission, just bring them and set them right up here in the corner. And then at the end of the month of October, we're going to take those things to Valley Mission and deliver them. And the children will be a part of that. The youth ministry will also be serving a hot meal for the mission. I think there is a sign-up sheet on the kitchen door already to provide some food for that meal. You know, it takes a good bit of food to feed maybe around 100 people that are there at the mission. And so if you look on the kitchen door, there's ways in which you can help provide for that meal. They like to take a warm meal. And so oftentimes as well, they help serve that meal, the children do. And it's just a good opportunity, not only for the residents there that are needing the help, but I tell you, it's good for our children too, isn't it? Just to be there serving and to see what the hands of Jesus are doing in helping others in need. So we look forward to that. Also, if you want to give a donation as well, you can give monetary donations through the offering plate. Just be sure that on your check that you put on that memo line that it goes to Valley Mission. You'll make it out to Moscow Covenant Brethren, but just put on the memo line that it needs to go to Valley Mission or towards that month of mission, and they will make sure that it will be delivered there on that day as well. Also, just a reminder, as we're moving towards baptism membership, that classes start next week, October 15th, the 22nd. Of course, the baptisms will be here on the 29th. And so if you are interested in joining the church or moving your membership, please reach out to me so that we can get that process started. I've talked to some that are interested in that. But just follow up with me to make sure that I have everything I need in order to include you in that membership receiving there on the 29th. Also, the fall Bible study, I have currently given out all the study guides, but I can get more. And if you would just let me know after the service that you need a study guide, I can get those ordered this week and make sure that you can have one before next Sunday. We're going to start that in the evening, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock here at the church, and I hope that many of you will be able to come. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we are your children. And Lord, that we have been received into your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is here with us now. Lord, moving in our midst, drawing our hearts to hear your word, Lord. Lord, we pray that you continue to move in our hearts. Lord, and transform our hearts. Lord, at times we confess, Lord, our hearts are hard. And Lord, we need our hearts softened by your Spirit. Lord, calls us to have hearts as your Son. Lord, have us to have hearts filled with love, even as you love us. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, around our world today that are in distress, Lord, because of war or because of anger or hatred, Lord, because of a world that doesn't know your love. But Lord, we pray now that not only we receive this love, but Lord, that your love might be poured out across this entire world. And Lord, we praise you now. Bless us in this time, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's two other announcements I was thinking of as I was sitting there. Remember, there's apple butter for sale. The children made apple butter. If you want to purchase that, see Titus after church. I think he can take care of you. There's plenty of apple butter. Also, I'm not sure if there's any left or not, but maybe there is, but there is some apple sauce, homemade apple sauce that is in the fridge. If you want to make a donation, you can take some of that home too. And I want to tell you, that applesauce is good. Miss Janet Bell made it, but it is excellent. $100 donation for a pint of that applesauce is well within... In fact, last night, I indulged in two big old bowls of it. And it was so good, I went into Aiden's room and I said, Aiden, you got to try this applesauce. It's just amazing. He can tell you. And Aiden agreed, so it's good. I'm not sure if there's any left in there, but I think there may be. LaBriska, is there? She was just in there. There's three left. Three left. Maybe we need to start bidding on that, Jan. Do auctioneering. Let's stand together for our call to worship. This is coming from portions of John chapter 13, which Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another." Let's turn to hymnal, page 372, Living for Jesus, page 372. Live me for Jesus, all my fears. like to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests or praises that we have. Would you keep the Larry Kelly family in your prayers? Maybe that's a name that's familiar to you. It's a first cousin of Dan Kelly, and he had cancer and has went on to be with the Lord. And so if you would, just lift up the Larry Kelly family and be in prayer for them, and just pray God's comfort will comfort them in their time of loss. Also, would you put Nancy Bailey on your prayer list? She is traveling back from a trip she was on, and we certainly pray for traveling mercies for her. Also, we want to extend a congratulations to Bruce and Mary Lou. They have received into their family a brand new grandbaby or great grandbaby. And so we congratulate them on the birth of Emma, and we pray that the baby grows and things go well. That's the daughter of Brianna and Quentin Schmidt. And so if you would just congratulate Bruce and Mary Lou, and we are excited for them and that new arrival. Also be in prayer for Brianna and Quentin Schmidt. They also need your prayers. With that particular pregnancy, it was great joy and great sorrow. And so if you would, just lift them both up in your prayers. Are there other prayer requests that you'd like to share at this time? Megan? Okay. Okay, Kitty and if you put Kitty and Sandy on your prayer list, which is Megan and Joe's mother, just both dealing with some aches and pains, and so please be in prayer for them. Pauline.
Banks had surgery Thursday.
Okay.
At RMH on his right leg.
Okay. If you.
Third surgery on that leg.
Wow. If you would be in prayer for Vance Knott, he's going to have surgery on Thursday on his leg, and Pauline just shared that will be the third surgery on that particular leg. And so we just pray, Vance, that surgery will go perfect. That's our prayer, that it will go perfect and that it will fix the problem. That's our prayer. Yeah. Yeah, I know he does. Also, just continue to pray for my dad, Dana. Some have asked, and he is continuing to heal. He's made it home. He's stayed home now for like 8 days, I think, 7 or 8 days. So praise God for that. I think that's the most he's been home for a while without having to make a trip to the hospital. And he got a good report from the doctor on Thursday or Friday this past week. So we praise the Lord for that. I see him regaining his strength slowly. But he is regaining some strength, and so we just praise the Lord for that. And we know that is answered prayers. Dana would not be where he's at without the prayers of each of you, of other churches as well, just people praying for Dad. We know and can testify 100% that he would not be here if it wasn't for prayer. And so we just thank you again for all your prayers for him. Continue to pray for him. Also, can you pray for Nancy Harlow? She's healing up still and doing well, we pray. So we praise the Lord for that and for her healing. Anyone else?
It's good to see Frances here. She's been on our prayer list. She's back
today. Okay, I'm looking. There she is. Hey, Frances, there you are. And you snuck in. I didn't see you. So praise the Lord you're here. We're glad that you're back, and that's a miracle too, isn't it, Francis? You've got a testimony as well about how God healed you and your leg. And so we just praise the Lord for that and for the doctors and nurses that helps you get nursed back to health. We just praise the Lord for the good work that's been done. So welcome back, Francis. Good to have you. Anyone else? Joanne.
Martha Anger, she's a close friend of mine.
Okay, Martha.
Her husband Don passed away.
Okay. If you would be in prayer for Martha Hanger, she has just recently lost her husband, so please be in prayer for her.
The same lady, her granddaughter, and transplant.
Oh, the one we've been praying, is that right? Yeah, that's unfortunate there. But certainly be in prayer for Martha if you would. Thank you, Lee. Joanne?
Picked up Judy Hoffman.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't heard anything from that, but she's in very
critical condition.
She's had all kinds of problems for a long time.
Okay. If you didn't hear Joanne, she's asking for prayer for Judy Huffman. Just be in prayer for her and for her comfort. She's in critical condition or critical health, and so just be in prayer for her. Other prayer requests, praises, Dan? Absolutely. It's so good to see Dick and Carolyn. They were here a couple weeks ago, too, and we're just so delighted to have them with us. And we just praise the Lord. God is working, and we know His hand is good. So praise the Lord for both of them here. Anyone else?
Israel.
Yes. I think certainly maybe we've seen some of the images coming out of Israel yesterday. I think maybe Friday going into Saturday morning, a war broke out. Just some of the atrocities, some of the images coming out are almost, they're unbearable to watch, some of them. We just know there is a lot of people suffering. The death count went from, I think last night it was 300, this morning it was over 600 on Israel. And so it's growing, it's gaining. Apparently this was a coordinated attack against Israel. And we want to be in prayer for those people, those that are hurt by this sort of atrocity. Anyone else? Then I'm going to call forth on our ushers to come forward to collect our tithes and offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you continue to watch over each one of us. Lord, as we offer our prayer requests, Lord, as we offer our praises for those answered prayers, we realize, Lord, and we're reminded each week, Lord, we're reminded that you are watching over us, that you care for us, Lord, and that you hear our prayers, and Lord, that you heal us in our time of need. Lord, we lift up those names lifted up or mentioned this morning, Lord. We lift them up to you, Lord, that you might heal them, Lord, that you might bring them peace, that you might bring them comfort, Lord, that you might answer their prayer even as they desire. Lord, we just pray that it be thy will, and Lord, that your prayers will be answered. Lord, we think of those in Israel this morning, those that are trying to crawl out from underneath rubble maybe, or those that are trying to grasp exactly what has happened even in the last 24 to 48 hours. Lord, we just pray for peace in that area. Lord, we pray for peace among those people. Lord, we pray for your protection upon the people of Israel, Lord. Lord, we pray that your will be done. Lord, we pray, Lord, that no more innocent life will be lost. Lord, that families won't be affected anymore by this, or children even, Lord, that they will be protected by your hand. Lord, that if more war will break out, Lord, that you will carry those families into the safety, Lord, that they need. And Lord, that you will protect them. Lord, we just pray for our nation as well. Lord, we know that unrest happens in many different ways and violence in many different ways. And Lord, we too see more violence than we should in our nation. Lord, we pray for peace among our people and upon the United States. Lord, we know, though, Lord, without your peace, Lord, without your Son Jesus, there is no real peace. And Lord, we continue to pray that the message of your Son Jesus might be proclaimed and preached throughout the whole world, and that all people might receive that peace, Lord, even because they have received that gift, that blessing, that relationship that comes through your Son, Jesus, and Him alone. Lord, we pray for our offering this morning. Lord, we bring it forth before you and lay it upon your altar, Lord. We pray that you are blessed by these things, and Lord, that you will continue to bless those that give faithfully to you. Lord, we pray that you bless our hearts now as we hear your scripture. Open our hearts and our ears to hear your word. And Lord, your commandment, even as you call us to love others, even as you have loved us. And we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. May we see you. Okay, let us turn in our scriptures to Luke chapter 10, and our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. We're continuing on our series, What Did Jesus Say? And boy, we're realizing Jesus had a whole lot to say, didn't he, on a lot of different topics. This Sunday, of course, we're talking about loving others and Christ's commandment to us to love others. You know, that loving others is really a foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. We are to love. We are to be love. We Christians, we talk about love. We sing about love. You know, what's the old hymn, You Shall Know We Are Christians By Our What? Our love, right? And of course, that's speaking of Scripture, really. But we talk about love. We sing about love. We tell others about love, about the love of Jesus. The two greatest commandments are to love, right? Love God with all your heart and love others even as Christ has loved us. Love is our foundation. It's the bedrock of all that we believe in the Christian faith. We are to love. And we are to love others even as love as God has loved us. You know, the Bible goes to say that if you were to speak in the tongues of angels but have not love, you are like a resounding bell or a clinging cymbal. You know, I would imagine when the angels speak that their voice would be something so lovely to hear, so amazing and wonderful and delightful to hear, that your mind probably couldn't comprehend the voice of an angel. And yet it says if you were to be able to speak like that and that you have not love, you're just like a clanging cymbal or a resounding bell. Bible says if you're to have the gift of prophecy and you could fathom the mysteries of all knowledge, but if you have not love, you have nothing. Bible says if you could have faith that could move mountains, think of that, but you have not love, it goes to say, you are nothing. It's important for us to be a people of love. We're defined by love, aren't we? And Christ calls us to be loving others even as He has loved us. Bible says if you were to give all your possessions to the poor, to surrender your body even to the flames for the sake of God, but you have not love, you gain nothing. Bible says love is patient, doesn't it? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast in itself. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Boy, you've heard that one before, hadn't you? This is a lot of times I'll read this one. We're at a wedding, and we're talking about love, a couple loving each other. Boy, we need to study that more, don't we? What does it mean to love? What does it mean to love? What does it really mean? What is the biblical definition of love? And we need to learn it. We need to know it. We need to know it so we can apply it, so we can live out that biblical definition of love. The world's definition of love, I think, is to love those that love you and to turn a cold shoulder to those that might treat you badly. I pray that isn't how you've been living your life. By that standard or that definition of love. Let me say that again. The world's definition of love is that you only love those whom love you. That's pretty shallow, isn't it? That's the way the world operates. If I'm treated good, if a person treats me with respect, if they talk nice to me, if they say things maybe I like to hear, if they treat me kindly, if they don't do me wrong, if they don't offend me, if they are pleasant to me, then I should or would love them. But if they do any of those other things that make my feelings hurt, then I'm not required to love them anymore. I turn a cold shoulder. Just turn away. I don't have to love them. Because that's the definition of love that the world gives. That if a person treats me badly, that they don't deserve my love. Boy, what happens if God gave that definition of love towards us? Are you deserving of God's love? Are you? Do you deserve God's love? Are you perfect in all areas of your life? Do you make mistakes? Do you sin? Do you sin against God? We all do, don't we? We all do. We're not deserving of God's love, but yet God loves us, doesn't He? And it's by that same standard of love in which God has loved us that He so wants you to love one another. We don't get to pick and choose who we love, do we? If we do that, we're living by the world's definition of love. That I just love those who love me. And those that don't treat me well, those that don't act lovingly towards me, I'll just turn that cold shoulder. I'll make my heart wax cold against those that treat me badly. Now, boy, wouldn't it be quite a sight if we went through confession time, huh? Brethren don't have confession booths. But would we come and confess before God that we have not loved everyone equally? That we love some more than we love others? That, in fact, we don't love some at all because they've maybe done something that has caused us pain. They have done something or said something that we can't forgive. And we've just chosen to use the world's definition of love. Well, I'll love them if they love me. That's not God's definition of love. That's not Christ's definition of love. All right, Luke chapter 10, we're going to see here, Jesus is talking to us about love. He gives this parable about how to love. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, probably very familiar to you. And well, let's just read through it here. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him," that is Jesus, "saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' And he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he," the man asking the question, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?' And then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side.'" Verse 32. "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So what did Jesus have to say about love? Who does Jesus tell us to love? When does he tell us to love? How much does he tell us to love? Well, as we see here in the scripture, who are we to love? Well, we're to love our neighbor, aren't we? We're to love our neighbor. That's the commandment that we read here, the commandment of God. The 2 greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor. And that brings about the question, doesn't it? Well, if I'm to love my neighbor, you know, who am I to love? I'm to love my neighbor. Then who is my neighbor was the question here that was being asked. Who is my neighbor? Who am I to love? I think in the mind of the Jewish person, that they had entrenched in their mind that a neighbor was someone that loved God. A neighbor was someone who was Jew. Someone that they got along with. Someone that they felt were part of them. And in the Jewish mind, that anyone outside of that Jewish culture or even that Jewish faith maybe was not necessarily a neighbor. And so we see here in verse 29, notice there, but he wanted to justify himself. So this man obviously had treated some people badly, hasn't he? He had made in his life he had made some excuse that he could treat some people a certain way and another people a whole other way. He had two standards. That in his mind, there were certain people that he treated good, and that there was another group of people that he treated bad. And that he wanted to justify that notice. He felt guilty about it. He did feel guilty about it, that he had this double standard in his life. He felt guilty before God. In his mind, remember, the Jew was trying to work their way to heaven. And so, boy, I don't want to be judged that I'm not treating people rightly. So who is my neighbor, Jesus? Who is it that is deserving of my love? You know, Jesus would teach in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Notice there, they had two categories of people. They had neighbor and enemy. Neighbor was someone who loved God, who was Jewish, who was like me. If I was a Jew, I love the person who's like me. He's a child of Abraham. They're Jewish. They love God. But then there's the enemy of God. That's the person that isn't like me, that doesn't love God, that isn't a Jew, that isn't the child of Abraham. And so you got these two classes of people. Jesus said, "You've heard it said that you're to love your neighbor and you're to hate your enemy." But what does he say then? "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." What did he do to those two classes? Who are we to love? Are we to love our neighbor and hate our enemy? Jesus said, "God forbid, love your enemies. Pray for those who seek to harm you." He done away with those two categories. There's not those that are acceptable of love and those that are not deserving of love. There are only those that are deserving of love in your life. Listen, what Jesus is saying is there's no one in your life, I don't care what they've done, I don't care how bad they have wronged you personally, I don't care if they have said something that strikes you to the bitter core and that you can't stand the sound of their voice, there is no excuse for you not loving them. Hear it. Hear what the Bible is speaking. You cannot make complacency in your life to say that I don't have to love that person just because I don't like how they've treated me. Now, that hurts some. But we got to hear it. We can't make excuse. We can't try to justify ourselves before God and say, just because that person has treated me badly, that I'm not required to love them anymore. What if God was to treat you that way? What if God was to say, "Well, that brother or sister sure did not good today. I just don't think I'm going to love them anymore. That cross isn't for them." Jesus died for the whole world, didn't he? There are those sitting in prison today that have committed atrocities that Jesus died for them too. Everyone is deserving of the love of God, and that means that everyone is deserving of your love. How is your love any greater than that of God's? When you say a person is not deserving of my love, you have made your love more important than the love of God. Think of that. You have said in your heart that my love is more valuable. My love is greater than the love of that of God. Because, oh God, He disperses His love equally, but me, no sir, they're not deserving of my love. Listen, this issue, I'm preaching it passionately because this issue is dividing families. This issue is dividing churches. Hear what the Lord is saying. There should be no one in your life that you hold anger or grudge against. Find forgiveness. Don't elevate your love or elevate yourself greater than that of God. Woe unto you. Who are we to love? You have heard it. It's been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That first century legalistic misconception was that there are those that are just not deserving of love. There are those that are not my neighbor. And this story brings out that so well, doesn't it? Who do we have here? This was to strike at the heart of the listener. Who do we have that's turning a blind eye towards this person who has been mugged and robbed and lay helpless in the street? You got the religious priest. You got the religious scribe. This is the religious class. Jesus is speaking to the religious. And He says the religious people, they come by and they see this situation. They see the circumstance of this person here laying helpless, needing help. And what do? They cross the street. Why would they cross the street? You know, if a Jew wanted to show their displeasure with someone that they thought was unclean or a situation that they didn't want to dirty themselves with, they would cross the street. That is to get as far away from the situation as you possibly can, to make yourself as if you have no obligation to it and that situation is unclean in your mind. And so this religious group is the one that really makes the foul. And so who is Jesus saying my neighbor is? Well, it's not just a person who lives near me, as some might think. It's not necessarily even a person who I would agree with or even get along with. My neighbor can be anyone, really. Anyone. Whether, no matter their social class, no matter whether they're upper or lower or middle, no matter their race, no matter their color, no matter their religion, no matter their education, no matter their culture, no matter their occupation, no matter their group, they might look different than us. They might talk different than you, dress different, wear their hair different, wear different cosmetics. It doesn't matter. Our neighbor is anyone. You know, there's a common misconception, I think, today that because some Christians are willing to call out sin, that therefore the Christian is no longer loving. You've heard that before? You're just a bigot. Don't you know the Bible says to love? That if you call out a wrong, that you're no longer loving anymore. If you point out something that's wrong, that you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, and on and on it goes through the list of things that you're not being loving or that you are being judgmental. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 18. I think this is important here. We're to love all people, but that doesn't excuse us as well from preaching the truth or speaking the truth. Just because we're called to love all people. We love all races. We love all colors. We love all people. We love all people. We don't necessarily love what all people are doing. Amen? We love all people. We love all people. We just don't necessarily love what they're doing. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, and you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, he says, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is Jesus saying here? Listen, if there are those that are in sin, go to them. Now, don't make it a big show. Don't make it about you. Listen, if your brother's in sin and you go to them to tell them about sin, you're doing it out of love for them, hopefully. It's not about you. It's not a show. Go to them secretly. Talk to them about the sin. And if they can't listen to you, then take two or three more back. That way that the words can be established and that all are in agreement and that maybe they'll hear you then. But if two or three won't be heard, bring them to the church. Let them speak out and tell them of their love and how they desire from them not to be destroyed in sin. Notice this is about the destruction of sin. Sin's a destructive thing. You know, sin not only hurts each other, hurts yourself, most of all it hurts God, doesn't it? That's why we don't like sin. It's not only just harmful to us, it hurts God. Sin hurts the heart of God. When you sin, you not only hurt yourself, but you literally hurt the heart of God. And so he says, you're going to these people and you're trying to help them to say, don't hurt God, don't hurt yourself. Out of love, we want you to turn from these sorts of things. That's not done in necessarily a judgmental fashion. It should be coming from a place of help, of your heart of love really for them. Is it more loving to hold your tongue and not tell someone about sin than to tell them? I think it's more loving to tell them. Would it be less loving to not tell my children if they're doing something wrong? You'd be a bad parent, wouldn't you? They're doing something wrong, and I'm not going to correct them or tell them they need to be careful in this area, make changes. I wouldn't be a good parent. A good parent loves their children, wants to tell them what is right and wrong so that they don't get hurt by sin. And so it's not an unloving thing for us to speak truth today, as some would say. Sin is not just breaking God's law, it's breaking God's heart. And we want others to hear the truth. You know, I think today in the church, the only reason some dismiss sin is so that we might not feel guilty about our sin or about our own sin. And we can't do that. We have to speak the truth. In love. In love. Okay, who do we love? We love all people. And even when we're speaking truth, we're still loving. Number two, what does Jesus tell us about when we are to love? Well, notice here, when the opportunity presents itself, right? Wasn't that the story? Here was the opportunity. This certain Samaritan. Notice the Samaritan was disliked by the Jew. So this is kind of offending them to note that the Samaritan was more loving than they were. Who are we to love? Well, we're to love all people, and we're to love when the opportunity presents itself. When the opportunity presents itself. Love is not a matter of someone's wealth It's a matter of our wealth. How are we inwardly? Are we going? Are we of value that we're going to love others? And is our heart right that we're going to love others? You ever noticed how some people treat other people depending on who they are? You ever been around someone like that? That maybe when a certain particular set of friends around, they act one way. And then when another set of friends is around, they act another way. It's as if they value one person's company more than the next, or they value one person more than the next. They love one person more than the next, even. Sometimes it has to do with status, maybe. If a person's popular, or a person maybe is powerful in the world, maybe. I kind of like to be around people that would treat the lowest person of the social status as the same as the greatest person of the social status. I want to talk one person talking about a friend they had that one thing they noticed about them was that they always treated everyone the same. They didn't treat some people differently because of who they were or whether they had money or status or whether they smelt good. They treated everybody the same. I like people like that. I think Jesus was like that. That Jesus treated everyone the same. It didn't matter what their status was. I think that's why the religious leaders got so offended at Jesus when he was out going among the outcast. And he was this special teacher, a prominent Jew. And they didn't want him intermingling with this lower class. They didn't want him bumping shoulders with people that were below him, they felt. They said, we love others. There's no one below us. Only people above us is God, right? And we're not to think of people in that way, above or below. We're to love everyone the same. And when God gives us opportunity, we should love the janitor the same way that we love the CEO. No difference. Be careful that you're not showing partiality to particular people. Who are we to love? And lastly, how much are we required to love? Well, notice there that we're required to love greatly. Matthew 18, if you have your finger still there, notice verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I shall forgive him? Up to seven times. Notice they're trying to impress Jesus. Seven times somebody offends me, I'll forgive them and love them. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to up to 70 times 70, or 70 times 7, which is 490, right? Not just 7 times, 490 times. How much are we to love? Listen, there's no end. Jesus is not just saying make a count of it. I mean, how many of us would keep a count? Well, there they hit 490, I'm done now. It's not what he's saying. There's no end, is it? We can't make excuse for ourselves to say, well, they've wronged me too much. Yeah, if they wouldn't have did that last thing, maybe I would have loved them like Jesus loved me, but they've reached the limit. Nope, can't say it. We are to continue to love. There's no amount too great. You can't love too much. That's what I used to say to Deborah, we talk about the kids, you can't love them too much. Is there such a thing as a parent loving their children too much? No. You might spoil them too much. But loving them, you can't love them enough. There's no end to that. Listen, love everyone the same. Don't prioritize people in your life that they're more important than others. God loves us all, doesn't He? From the janitor to the CEO. He doesn't prioritize. We're to love everyone the same. We're to love even as Christ loved us. That is, that at times we were enemies of God, and yet He continues to love us. And listen, there's no end to that love. I pray that if you have people in your life that you've turned a cold shoulder to, that you hear what the Bible is and God's Word is speaking to you today, maybe it's time to get on the phone, make that phone call, and say, I love you. I'm sorry if I've offended you. Maybe I'm sorry, whatever has caused division among us. I love you. I love you as greatly as Christ loves you. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this love we've received. Lord, You've called us now with a responsibility to love others even as You have loved us. And Lord, I pray that we do that. Help us, Lord, to love as You have loved us. Give us Your strength. And Lord, transform our hearts that we might be filled with Your love. Lord, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're gathered now in our closing hymn, The Bond of Love, page 281. Let's stand together and sing. This is a new hymn. We've never sang this, so we'll do our best. It sounded like you knew that hymn. Maybe you've heard it before. That was a new one, though. We haven't sang it in the 12 years I've been here, and it's a beautiful hymn. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly are one in the bond of love. Lord, we thank You that we've received this love. Lord, You've been so gracious to extend Your love to us. Lord, let us go forth now into this world and love, even as You have loved. Lord, they will know we are Christians by our love. Let us testify. Every day, Lord, through our love for others, that we are truly Your disciples, even as we love one another. Bless us, I pray, this week till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.